"How imprudent you are," he said as he stood before me, dripping with water. "Why try to enter my house? I never invited you. I don't want you there, nor anybody. Did you save my life only to make it unbearable to me? However great the service you rendered him, Eric may end by forgetting it, and you know that nothing can restrain Eric, not even Eric himself." He spoke, but I had no other wish than to know what I already called the trick of the siren. He satisfied my curiosity, for Eric, who is a real monster, I have seen him at work in Persia, alas, is also in certain respects a regular child, vain and self-conceited, and there is nothing he loves so much after astonishing people as to prove all the really miraculous ingenuity of his mind. He laughed and showed me a long reed. "It's the silliest trick you ever saw," he said, "but it's very useful for breathing and singing in the water. I learned it from the Tonkin pirates, who are able to remain hidden for hours in the beds of the rivers." An official report from Tonkin, received in Paris at the end of July 1909, relates how the famous pirate chief De Tam was tracked, together with his men, by our soldiers, and how all of them succeeded in escaping thanks to this trick of the reeds. I spoke to him severely. "It's a trick that nearly killed me," I said, "and it may have been fatal to others. You know what you promised me, Eric, no more murders." "Have I really committed murders?" he asked, putting on his most amiable air. "Wretched man," I cried, "have you forgotten the rosy hours of Mazenderan?" "Yes," he replied in a sadder tone. "I prefer to forget them. I used to make the little Sultana laugh, though." "All that belongs to the past," I declared, "but there is the present. And you are responsible to me for the present, because if I had wished, there would have been none at all for you. Remember that, Eric. I saved your life." And I took advantage of the turn of conversation to speak to him of something that had long been on my mind. "Eric," I asked, "Eric, swear that—" "What?" he retorted. "You know I never keep my oaths. Oaths are made to catch gulls with." "Tell me. You can tell me, at any rate." "Well?" "Well, the chandelier." "The chandelier, Eric?" "What about the chandelier?" "You know what I mean." "Oh," he sniggered. "I don't mind telling you about the chandelier. It wasn't I. The chandelier was very old and worn." When Eric laughed, he was more terrible than ever. He jumped into the boat, chuckling so horribly that I could not help trembling. "Very old and worn, my dear Daroga. Very old and worn, the chandelier." Daroga is Persian for chief of police. "It fell of itself. It came down with a smash. And now, Daroga, take my advice and go and dry yourself, or you'll catch a cold in the head, and never get into my boat again. And whatever you do, don't try to enter my house. I'm not always there, Daroga, and I should be sorry to have to dedicate my requiem mass to you."